Welcome to The Perfect Place for Imperfect People. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
Starting a new series today called Reinvest, and this is our second series where we've had notebooks and notes for you guys to write some things down. I see lots of you doing that. Way to go. If you haven't picked up a binder yet, you could do that out in the lobby today when we're done. I'm thrilled that you're doing it. The series is called Reinvest. It's part of our theme for the year. Our theme for the year is revision. We're a 10-year-old church. We're recasting the vision of what got us here and what will take us forward. What are we asking God to do? And Pastor Eric did an amazing job in all 4 weeks of that revision series. He's always amazing. Today, my opportunity to start a new series called Reinvest. Here's the idea behind the series. God expects an ROI. Now, if you've ever done investing, you know what ROI is. It's return on investment. We don't put our money in something going, wow, they're going to lose 20%. Let's do that. No, we want a return. We want an increase on investment. And God has invested in us. He has invested in our talents. He's invested in our time. He's invested in our treasure. And those are areas where he wants to see a return. The difficulty is we don't always trust him enough to reinvest in him. In fact, we tend to worry more than we trust. And that takes us to Matthew 6, which is the theme setting, the verses we're clinging to in this series. Jesus is teaching, and in this setting, he talks about the subject of worry. And he just goes for it, because that's what Jesus does. He goes for it. He says, hey, some of you are worried about what you're going to eat, and some of you are worried about what you're going to drink, and some of you are worried about what you're going to wear, and some of you are worried about where you're going to live, and worry will not help you move toward your goals. Worry will not help you reinvest. In fact, Jesus introduces the subject with this question. He loves to ask pointed questions. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? What's the answer? No. In fact, the opposite is true. Medical studies prove that the more you worry, the more you shorten your life. It doesn't add to it, it takes it away. Worry does not take away my problems. Worry takes away my peace. Would you write that down? That's the problem with worry. If it helped, I'd do it. But it doesn't. It destroys today's peace because I'm focused on tomorrow's potential problems. So Jesus lays it out with clarity. Love the fact that he does that. We're going to start in verses 31 and 32. Now, I'm going to ask you to read it out loud with me in your best, we're 11:30, we got rained on, we're awake kind of voice. How many of you got rained on coming in? Way to go. Welcome to South Florida. I love it. Let's read it together. It starts with, so don't worry. You ready? Big time loud. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now, don't miss this verse. There's so much in here. Jesus says, if you're an unbeliever, I get it. If you're an unbeliever, worry is normal for you. If you're doing life without God, I get it. You ought to be worried. But for those of you that have faith, for those of you that believe, for those of you that are following, he says, our Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Wow. Leads us to the theme verses for this particular three-week series. Let's read this out loud together. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is there anything truer in all Scripture than each day has enough trouble of its own? When I worry, I take today's grace. God gives grace, the ability to handle things, one day at a time. And he gives me just enough grace for today. But when I worry, I borrow tomorrow's problems and drag them into today, and I don't have enough grace for today's problems and tomorrow's problems. I only have grace for today. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here's the setting. We can worry or we can trust. We can chase the things that the world worries about, or we can trust our Heavenly Father to give them to us. We can reinvest in Him, in the things that matter to God, or we can chase the things that matter to us. Our title today is Reinvest Your Talents. We're going to talk about the things you're good at, where they came from, and what you do with them. So let's jump right in. Number one, I have to recognize my talent is a gift from God. Write that in your notes. My talent is a gift from God. The late Rush Limbaugh holds the record by far for the biggest audience on a regular basis of any talk radio show. Number two is way down the list. And whether you liked Rush or didn't like him, and I had the ability to do both at the same time. I mean, the guy would say some things that were brilliant, and he'd say some things that would just aggravate the hooey out of me. But he started every show with a statement that was absolutely true. Here it was. Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from God. Do you remember that? Talent on loan from God. Bingo. All talent is a gift from God. All talent is on loan from God. Now, sure, you've worked at it. Sure, you've sharpened your skills. Sure, you have practiced to be better. But the raw talent to be good at something is a gift from God. Look at what Scripture says. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Yeah. Every good and perfect gift, the Scripture says, is from God the Father. There's no doubt we can sharpen those gifts, but the gift comes from God. So do this with me. Think about some of the most gifted people in your life as examples of this. Let me tell you about three super gifted people in my life. Our son Jared has the mind of an engineer, but the skills of a carpenter. When he was 3 years old, I came home from work. He had a pair of pliers and a screwdriver in his hand, and he had taken apart the kitchen table and all six of the kitchen dining chairs. They are laying in pieces scattered around the kitchen. And when I come home, I say, "Hey, buddy, you need some help putting them back together?" He said, "Nope. Now that I took it apart, I know how it works." And I watched the kid put the table back together. Today, he is a general contractor and builds 300-unit apartment buildings. He has the mind of an engineer and the skills of a carpenter. I knew it back then. You could look at it and see God's blueprint in this kid. Our grandson, Justice, who is now in the eighth grade, when he was in the third grade, takes the national standardized test that all third graders take. And it's a national test. It gives you scores in every subject. And he scored the fifth highest score in the country. Let me be clear. Not the fifth percentile. The fifth highest raw score in the country. I looked at his parents and said, "He does not get that from you." This is obviously a gift from God. He is absolutely intellectually gifted. Where did that come from? That came from God. My wife, Mary, another gifted person in my life, has an ability to write that is crazy. At one point in time, there were 1 million people following her daily devotions online. When she writes, complicated things get simple. Deep things get easy to understand. It is a gift from God. What is my point? Whatever talent you have, God gave it to you. And the sooner you recognize that, the quicker God will put His hand on that talent and bless it and increase it and use it. I'll never forget 35 years ago after being a pastor for 14 years and telling God, I don't think I'm a pastor. For 14 years, I was a pastor and told God, I don't think I'm a pastor. And I finally said, okay, I buy it. I'm giving you my talents. I'm surrendering them to you. And God did this. Admit that you're talented and it comes from God. It is a big, big thing. Whatever you're good at, God gave you that talent. Whatever you're good at, God gave it to you. So let's have a little fun. You're sitting, most of us, with somebody you know. I want you to think about something they are good at. Do you have it? Person you're sitting with, something they're good at. Look at them and say, you're good at blank, fill in the blank, but God gave you that gift. Go. Yeah. Recognize your talent is a gift from God. Second thing that we have to do is we have to realize our talent is for others. Would you write that in? Realize my talent is for others. Now, don't miss this. The default setting of every human being is self. Nobody has to teach us to be self-centered. I read a study not long ago that said the three most used words of a three-year-old are me, mine, and myself. It's mine, I do it myself. Me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. Myself, myself, myself. You don't have to teach them that. They come out of the womb with that. And by age three, it's blooming before your very eyes. That is normal. What's not normal is learning to think about others first instead of yourself. And talent is one of the tools God uses to help us make that switch. Jesus talked about greatness. Now, it's interesting today. Athletes talk about greatness all the time. They usually talk about their greatness. I am so tired of the athlete says, I am the greatest. Like he had something to do with it. Like that talent didn't come from God. Has he practiced? Has he worked? Has he honed his skills? Yes, he has. Has she moved forward? Without a doubt, she has. But the talent's from God. And when we begin to use it for others, God multiplies it. Jesus said this, the greatest, the most talented, if you will, among you will be your servants. Jesus is saying, I didn't give you those talents just for you. I gave you those talents for others. It's not so you can stand up and say, me, myself, mine. I'm the greatest. It's so you can serve others. Check out what Scripture says. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then this one from Peter. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve one another. The purpose of talent is serving others. I've had so many people that have lived this lesson in front of me. One of them is my friend Bob Hodgson. I miss him dearly. He graduated to heaven just over a year ago. I had the privilege of being Bob's pastor for 15 years, Bob's friend for 15 years. I miss the man greatly. Heaven is richer for his presence. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Bob grew up in the gunpowder business. He made black gunpowder. Now, black gunpowder has got two main uses. One is there's a black powder that is used for muzzle loading sports shooting. And secondly, black powder is used for military applications in bombs, with fuses. Those are the two main uses of black powder. In 1990, Bob Hodgson attended a Dave Ramsey lunch for business owners. He and his brother, who co-owned Hodgson Gunpowder, went to this meeting in Kansas City. And Ramsey challenged them, as Ramsey always does, and he said, you guys need to double tithe. If you want to see God bless you and use you to bless others, double tithe. Give tithe off of your income, your personal income, but tithe as well off of your corporate profits. Give away 10% every year of what the company brings in. Not what you make, what the company makes. And Bob looked at his brother and said, I'm that crazy. And his brother looked back at him and said, I'm that crazy. And they basically began to pray this prayer. God, at whatever level you bless us, we will give away 10% of what we make personally and 10% of the corporate profits every year. Multiply our talent to bless others. If you walk into a Cabela's or walk into an outdoor world store or walk into any sports store or any place that sells hunting equipment or ammunition, you will find Hodgson gunpowder. In the last 30 years, they have become the number one producer of muzzle-loading gunpowder in the world and the number one and only provider of black powder to the U.S. military. That is not a small contract. At his memorial service, I shared the list. I had it in my hands, pages long, of the 500 plus not-for-profit organizations they gave money to over the last 30 years, helping hundreds of thousands of people. Ordinary man with a crazy love for Jesus who said, I'm surrendering my talent. I know how to make good gunpowder, and I know how to make good money, and I'm surrendering to Jesus. Let's see what Jesus can do. We start by realizing our talents from God. We step it up further by realizing our talent is for others. This leads to point number three, which is the stretch point in today's teaching. Recommit my talents for use in God's work. Recommit my talents for use in God's work. Now, are your talents God's gift to you to bless you and your family, to make a living, to do well? Yes. Are God's talents, step two, for others so you can bless others as well? Yes. But the further step here is that my talents are gifts from God that I can use to bless the work of God, that I can use to bless the church of God, that I can use to bless the kingdom of God. Think of it this way in exponential terms. When God works in me, I use my talents and they bless me. God works through me when I use my talents to bless others. God works beyond me when I use my talents in his kingdom. Wow. In me to bless me, that's cool. Through me when I serve others. But beyond me, he multiplies it. He puts his hand on it and says, watch this. Now, when a redneck says, watch this, you run. You with me? But when God says, watch this, you lean in. You pay attention. And when we commit our talents to God to be used in his work, he puts his hand on those talents and grows them and multiplies them. Now, here's how it works. This is where this thing called church comes into gear. Look this way. Nobody has all the talents required to love and serve this community in Southwest Broward County. Nobody has all those talents. But if I bring my talents and say, God, I want you to use these to serve others and to extend your work. And if you bring your talents to say, God, I want to use these to serve others and to bless your work. And if we all bring all our talents to say, God, we want to serve others and bless this community and extend your work. Wow. What could happen? Every weekend there are 12 to 1,300 people here in one of our services at the local church. Every weekend there are more than that that are watching online. There's a crew that watches down at Everglades Correctional, prisoners down there, hey guys, that watch every week. When you run all that together over the course of a month, there's 3,000 to 4,000 different individuals that consider the local church to be their home. What would happen if all of us said, I'm using my talent to serve others and to extend the kingdom of God? That would be an unstoppable force for good and for God in Southwest Broward County. Wow. I love the Bible. If you don't know that about me, I want you to know that. I love the scripture. I love studying it. I love reading it. I love teaching it. It's one of the talents God has given me. I am grateful for it. But there are some verses in the Bible that shake me up. There are some verses in the Bible that scare me a little bit. Here's one of them. It's from Jesus. It's quoted in Luke 12:48. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Write that in your notes. Don't miss it. To whom much is given, much is required. Why is that a scary verse for me? Honestly, because I've been given much. I live in South Florida, people. A year ago, I was freezing to death in Kansas City. We live in a great place. I've been blessed with amazing opportunities in my life. When I look back over 50 years of following Jesus, 49 years of being a pastor, I see moment after moment where God said, here's an opportunity, here's a talent, what are you going to do with it? I've been given much. Many of us have. But to whom much is given, much is required. So let's get a frame of mind to help us before we all have an opportunity to recommit our talents to God today. Let's have a little fun, get our frame of mind right. Some of you have been wanting to tell somebody off since you came today. I'm going to give you that chance in a minute. I want you to repeat this phrase after me. Life is not about me. Would you say that? Life is not about me. Now, here's your chance to tell somebody off. Look at the person you came with. Look them in the eye and say, life is not about you. Go ahead. Some of y'all are grateful you came alone right now. Let's have another little bit of fun here. Try this one on. Church is not about me. Would you say that out loud with me? Church is not about me. Now, once in a while, somebody will come up to me on a weekend and they'll say, Pastor Dan, can I talk with you? I love this church, but there's some things I'd really like to see added and some things I really need and some things that I really want. So could you guys work on this and this and this and this? And I'll listen very politely. I've done this with some of you. And then I say, I have a response for you, but I want you to come in close because I'm going to whisper it. And they come in close and I say, church is not about you. Because it's not. We're the only organization in the world that exists for the sake of those who are not here yet. That's who we are. It's about my friends and your friends. It's about my neighbors and your neighbors. It's about my workmates and your workmates who don't know Jesus yet. That's who we're here for. And the minute we prop our feet up and go, woo, I love my church, it's all about me, God takes his hand off of it. That's why that revision series last month was so important to remind us. We live in a place that's 97% unchurched. It's not about the 3%. It's about the 97% that don't have a church home. So life's not about me. Church is not about me. Let's have a little more fun. Talent is not about me. Say that one with me. Talent is not about me. I love it when young, talented people figure that out. I was in my mid-30s before I figured that out. I'd been a pastor for 14 years before I figured that out. And I won't forget the moment when I finally said, you know what, God, this talent you've given me, these gifts you've given me, these opportunities, they're not about me, They're about serving others, and they're about extending your kingdom, and I'm in. But it took me a while. Hard for young people to grab that. Hard for anybody to grab it. If you don't know this about me, you should. I love the NFL. I'm already in grief because next Sunday we won't have any more NFL games for 6 months. This is not good. It's just not good. And I have favorite teams. I grew up in around the Dallas area, so I've been a Cowboy fan for life. I spent 21 years in South Florida. I love the Dolphins. I cheer for the Dolphins. But I've been the last 15 years in Kansas City, and my Chiefs are doing pretty good. Sorry about that. Not really. It bothers me when professional athletes make it all about them. But I love it when a young professional athlete figures it out. This year, a rookie playing for a not very good team the year before, the Houston Texans, as a rookie was the quarterback who threw for the most passing yards per game in the entire NFL. This has never been done before. His name is C.J. Stroud, an outstanding Christ follower. And I love the fact that he's already figured out how to talk about his success. Because games 10, 11, 12 out of 17, they were saying, C.J., you're on course to be the first quarterback to ever lead the league in passing yards per game as a rookie. What do you think about that? And he did it. He ended up accomplishing that feat. He had more passing yards than Tua per game. He had more passing yards than Mahomes per game. He literally set the record. First time a rookie's ever done it. And when he was asked about it several times, he gave this exact response. I wrote it out so I could read it to you word for word. I thank God for the talent and opportunity he has given me to play football. Playing football is my platform. Telling others about Jesus is my purpose. Boom! He gets it. What you do for a living, the talents God has given you, the skills you have developed from them, the things you're good at, that establishes your platform. It's not your purpose. Your purpose is using that platform to share Jesus with others. My talent gives me a platform. Jesus gives me a purpose. Write that in your notes. It's not about me. Life isn't. Church isn't. Talent isn't. It provides a platform. Jesus is my purpose. So I'm going to give you one more truth to write in your notes, and then I'm going to ask you to do something important. Stay focused with me because we're not done, okay? Stay focused with me. We're not done. By the way, that last thing is not in your notes. Some of you are looking for it going, where is that? Where is it? Where is it? You have to write it all down verbatim. My talent gives me a platform. Jesus gives me a purpose, okay? Here's the last thought I want to give you, the last fill in the blank in your notes, but stay focused in because we're going to give everybody a chance to respond today that's important. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. So here's what we're going to do today. We've done it in the first two services. We're going to do it in this one and the next one. In just a moment, we're going to sing, I Will Make Room for You Again, song we sang earlier. We're going to stand to our feet while we do it. While we're standing, I'm going to ask everyone who wants to recommit their talent to serve others and to serve God to come and stand right against the front edge of the stage. We're going to turn this stage into an altar today. I'm not going to ask you to do anything or say anything. Just come and stand here. And after everybody's come, I'm going to say a word to you, and then I'm going to pray over you as we all recommit our talents to serve others and to serve God. Got it? Now, if you're watching online, you can do this by just reaching out toward the TV screen or the laptop screen. If you're watching down at Everglades Correctional, Pastor Buddy will instruct you on how to do it there. But here, here in this service, right now, I'm going to ask you to stand at your feet. I'm going to ask you to come forward. Don't hesitate, just come. If you're ready to recommit your talents to serve God and to serve others. Yeah, I love this. Come on. You have to squeeze in because we're going to fill it up. Way to go, bro. Love you. Proud of you guys. It's awesome. Yeah. This is cool. Got whole families coming. Got couples coming. Got moms and dads coming with their kids. Singles coming. By the way, if you're out there and you're thinking, I'd like to do this, but I don't know, only God would prompt you to give your talent back to God. That's not something you're going to come up with on your own. So if you want to come forward, stand here. Can y'all squeeze in? That whole aisle is full. I love it. Yeah, come on, folks. We're familia. I love the fact, sir, that you're standing there with a kid in your hands. Yeah. He'll remember. Here's what I want to say to you. I am proud of you for wanting to give your talents back to God and to serve others. But your heavenly Father is stinking proud of you for wanting to do that. And when you say to God, I want to serve others with my talent, and I want to serve you with my talent, he puts his hand on that talent and says, let's go. Let's go. So I'm going to pray for you. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Can you turn your hands up? This is a position of surrender. It says, I'm laying my talent at your feet, Jesus, and I'm asking you to bless it and hand it back to me. That's what it is, okay? So, I'm going to pray for you right now. You ready? Let's pray. Father, we surrender our talent to you today. The things you made us good at. The gifts you have given us. We've used them to bless ourselves. Thank you for that, Lord. We want now to use them even more to serve others and to serve you. So, Father, we lay them at your feet. We ask you to put your hands on them and hand them back to us. And we will follow you and serve you and honor you. Bless you, Jesus, for this moment. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now, before you go back to your seat, let me say this. You're going to have to do this again. Because what we do with our talent is we take it back. I mean, we lay it at God's feet, and then a week later we go, it's all about me. And it comes right back to that self-centered thing again. So this is a lifelong commitment to keep saying, I'll resist the temptation to make it about me. I will serve others. I will serve God. My talents. That's what you're doing. We're proud of you. Way to go. Let's give these folks a hand as they find their way.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.